This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Oh, yes. Football is upon us. What a tremendous performance by some of the rookie quarterbacks the other day. Absolutely fantastic stuff. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn today, along with Bart Scott. In just moments, we should have a very special guest. I want to get into, though, for a minute, while we can, the performance of Zach Wilson. Too. We got into some of the other rookies last hour, because I think across the board, people were excited about all of the rookie quarterbacks, and there were reasons to be excited about some, not so much about others. Bart, with Wilson, I thought for the two series that he played for the Jets, it was about as sharp as you could ask for.
And one of the best indications, or I want to say the easiest way to see how much arm strength a quarterback has is when they throw from the opposite hash and out to the other side, right? And people are like, oh, well, it's just a 15-yard throw. No, that takes tremendous arm strength. And also, that travels a lot farther than the 15 yards it really is, right? Because if you throw from one hash 15 yards down the field, that's about a 53-yard pass, right, on a rope. And the pass that he threw to Davis is a rope, and it's an indication, right? And I've seen this throw maybe from two other guys that had that type of arm strength, right? We talked about Flacco early. Remember, Flacco was my rookie, and I used to call him Frida. I used to tease him until he threw that 15-yard out, and I was like, you know what? I call you Flacco, right? Carson Palmer. We had traps to try and take away that play with guys inserting, swiping underneath, and you couldn't get it there, because one of those things that when you got that type, it's like something that you can check. And Zach Wilson has that. The arm strength is apparent. What I would like to see a little bit more of is a little bit more anticipation. But, I mean, I think he lived up to the billings, because we have to ask ourselves, right? We have two rookie quarterbacks that we know is going to start. We know that Lawrence is going to start. We know that Wilson's going to start. And so far, both of them look pretty good.
Well, we're going to get more into this in just a few moments. But, Bart, it is not often that you hear from a 13-time champion on the show. 13-time?
Eat that.
I am a franchise player. I am a genuine superstar. And what I do in this ring is sacred to my family.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun. And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Woo. No one compares to me. I don't steal opportunities. I am the opportunity. I'm not apologizing for being that damn good, because all of you are going to bow down to your 13-time women's champion.
That's right. It is Charlotte Flair, the 13-time WWE women's champion, who joins Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus right now. Charlotte, man, we appreciate the time. This is an honor. How you doing?
Hey, guys. My pleasure.
I'll tell you what. SummerSlam's coming up, and you know, when you think about the wrestling calendar, where does SummerSlam rank as far as the excitement level amongst the participants of SummerSlam?
Right now, it kind of feels like WrestleMania, to be honest. We're expecting 55,000 people, and SummerSlam has always been one of the big four pay-per-views. But right now, it feels just as big as WrestleMania. I mean, especially for me, I wasn't able to be a part of WrestleMania this year due to COVID. And going in to want to show the fans on the grandest stage, it should be amazing.
Charlotte Flair has got a triple threat match at SummerSlam, Allegiant Stadium in Vegas this Sunday. She's going up against Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley. I mean, there's so much we could get into, and, you know, you just hear it in there. What the sport means to your family. Can you, even at this juncture in your career, as much of an impact as your father made, but so much of an impact as you have made as well, is there any way for you to even put that into context yet at this point in your career?
No, it's really hard. the business changed my life, you know. This wasn't something that I dreamed about as a kid. It wasn't something that I ever thought I would get into. I played sports in middle school, high school. I went to Appalachian State for volleyball, transferred to NC State, and then I was just personal training. But the business was actually something that my two brothers wanted to get into. So when I told my dad in 2012 that I wanted to, you know, do this, literally at the Hall of Fame for the Four Horsemen, my dad was a little hesitant, but I think he thought if I did it, it would get my little brother more motivated on the right path, because this was my little brother's dream. And I thought, you know, okay, yeah, maybe I'm not doing much of my life right now. If I do this, maybe it will help my brother and we can do it together. And here I am, 2021, and the most decorated female in the history of the company. And I just don't know how I got here. It's mind blowing. Like, you know how people always say to try to enjoy the ride? It's still like surreal for me to think that I've done all these things and I mean this much to the industry. It's like, I don't know. It's hard to like see yourself outside of what's happening, you know?
Yeah, and it's crazy, right? Because as a former professional athlete, sometimes it's hard to connect the dots looking forward. You know, you can connect them, you know, going back. So everything that you've done that led you to this path. But I consider myself like a distant cousin. You know, your dad slapped me on the chest a little bit, hyped me up. I had a cameo on TNA one time. Got tapped out by Kurt Angle, but that's a different story for a different time. You know, but I grew up loving wrestling as an 80s baby, I believe, at the heights, as, you know, it became a global sport. And, you know, I remember the times where, you know, you had the Lady Women of the Globe, Big Bad Mom and all that stuff. And, you know, they kind of had to have their own space. But the fact that, you know, you look at SummerSlam, you guys don't have, you know, I mean, when I say you guys, I'm talking about women's wrestling. You don't just you just don't have one match. You guys have three matches on one of the biggest cards of the year. You know, have you been able to soak that in, and the fact that you've been handed the baton to kind of take it further? When we just say wrestling, we're not saying, you know, women's matches and things of that sort. How do you feel, and how are you embracing the responsibility?
Well, you know, since 2015, we've, as a company as a whole, have talked about this women's evolution. And really, the women have done it all since then. So to me, it's not necessarily celebrating the fact that the women have three matches on the show. It's that we have continued the success. We have continued to take the ball and run with it. And now we've pretty much normalized it. Like, no one's going, oh my gosh, there's three female matches on the SummerSlam card. Oh my gosh, the females are in the main event of Raw. The females are the main event of SmackDown. Like, that's how far we've come, that no one, I think, who really pays close attention is surprised by the spot, because we have been given them time after time and over-delivered. So I think the bigger thing is it's normal. Like, if there was just one match, people would be like, oh no, something's not right. Like, that's not normal. Now it's normal to have multiple female matches, multiple female storylines, with different feels to each one of them.
13-time WWE Women's Champion Charlotte Flair.
Now, when you say that, Charlotte, do you say it like your dad? Because I remember dad, you know, 5-time, 6-time. Like, when you say the resume, did you go with not, you know, 11, 13? Because I don't know if I have enough breath in my lungs to kind of count to 13 when I'm jacked up on Mountain Dew.
You know, when in the moment, I just kind of feel it. Whether it's now my new line is the most decorated woman, so I don't say the title, as many titles, but I don't know, I just feel the moment, what the audience is reacting to. You know, anything to be over the top. I'm a Flair.
Well, I mean, the truth matters as little as it ever has, Charlotte. So you could say 28 time. They wouldn't know.
Yeah, you know, it's the passion that you know, It's the feeling and the emotion behind the words and how you say it.
Charlotte, you know, when you get the chance to do this, but you're and I know you get asked this all the time, but you're following, you talk about being the most decorated women's wrestler, and you're the daughter of the most decorated wrestler, period. How much does that responsibility that comes with that kind of weigh on you? Or has it always been an easier transition for you to just go and forge your own path?
Oh, no, it weighs on me to this day. I definitely have a chip on my shoulder. It's definitely, I think, a double-edged sword. Being the daughter of Ric Flair, I would never change it. My dad's, you know, my best friend, my biggest supporter, between my dad and my fiance, Manny, they just, what my dad means, and knowing that so many people assume that I've gotten where I am because of him and nepotism, and it's just, I try that much harder, and even to this day with everything that I've done, I'm like, it's still not enough. I've got to do more. I've got to get better. But it just, that's what makes me tick. And I think it's hard to really grasp the fact that there's a father-daughter duo that has done what we've done and meant what we have meant to the industry. I mean, I don't even grasp it. I'm talking about it. Like, I know what my dad means, but I still, I mean, I'm very grateful and I'm very lucky.
Now, when you talk about a triple threat match, like, what's the strategy that goes into that? Because you guys are all individual competitors, but, you know, if two kind of come together and decide to link up to kind of get rid of one and may the best woman win afterwards, what's the strategy that goes in, assuming that they're not listening?
Well, I don't know if anyone watched Raw last night, but Nikki and Rhea teamed up and ganged up on me.
Yeah.
I felt like, oh, this is not fair. I have, luckily, a lot of experience in triple threat matches. The hardest thing about a triple threat match is you don't have to be pinned or submitted in order to lose. So going in with a lot of experience, both on big stages, both in triple threat matches, you know, I'm undefeated at SummerSlam, so I'm going to do anything and everything to walk out of there as the new Raw Women's Champion.
Last one, Charlotte. Bart mentioned it earlier. He tapped out against
Kurt Angle.
No.
I had a season to prepare for.
Tight.
I couldn't go in there.
Sit tight for a second.
Okay.
He tapped out. As opposed to getting pinned,
let
be honest. You do lose a little bit more respect for somebody when they tap out as opposed to getting pinned, right?
Oh, man.
I mean, I would have fainted. I wouldn't have tapped out.
I'm not as tough as you. No. It's in your DNA, Charlotte. It's in your DNA.
No.
This is a guy who played in the NFL for a long time, Charlotte. I'm just saying.
If you're going to tap out to someone, it's going to be Kurt Angle. It's an honor to tap out to Kurt Angle. Look at it that way.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I was the best person he's ever tapped out.
Good luck on Sunday.
Exactly.
Absolutely awesome having you on, Charlotte. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Yep. Charlotte Flair. She's got the triple threat match.
Ooh.
Allegiant Stadium in Vegas on Sunday. It's SummerSlam for the WWE. I still have that vision of you in that ankle lock. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I see that, it's like, Bart, you had to tap out.
It wasn't the ankle that really was bothering me. It was the torque from the ankle that was getting my knee.
Listen, you can spin it however you want. You tapped out. That's the version of quit.
I had a responsibility.
Anybody can get pinned in a second. They just get, oh my God, what happened? It got tangled up.
I had a responsibility to the New York Jets to make sure that I kept that knee intact. That's what did it. I would have went out on my sword. But I said, you know what? The season's coming up. I got to be ready for these Jet fans that have Super Bowl aspirations. Listen, not only is this guy was the WWE champion, he's also 25 years ago won a gold medal as an elite wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I'm saying?
And you quit.
Yeah, that's true. I'd get tapped out by the Hardy Boys. I'd get tapped out by the Dynamite Kid. I ain't get tapped out by none of those scrubs. You know what I'm saying? I got tapped out by one of the most dangerous men in the world.
Didn't go down to the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Coco Beware did not drop kick me in the chest and I quit.
That was Charlotte Flair joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. It's Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And we were talking about Zach Wilson a few minutes ago at the Jets and his performance. You know, I want to get to him a little bit more, and then I also want to get into what we saw from Trevor Lawrence in game number one. Wilson, to me, the biggest thing and that was incredibly encouraging in just two series, mind you. Bart, that guy looked like he had an incredibly slow heartbeat right away. Was not, and I know the starters weren't out there for the Giants. Doesn't matter. You're walking onto the NFL field for the first time, even in the preseason, and you're not jumpy. Trevor Lawrence was jumpy. He wasn't.
Well, Trevor Lawrence was jumpy because he doesn't have that wall in front of him. And, you know, the Jets line is not, I wouldn't say top five, but I think you can feel comfortable.
It's incredibly better than it was.
That you have, you know, tremendous guys on the edges to protect your blind side. And I think Vera Tucker is going to solidify the interior. Last year, you know, when you think about Sam Darnold, his struggles, it was instant, you know, immediate pressure up the middle. I think with Vera Tucker being out there, he's a guy that's going to, you know, hold that down, and the other guys have to be better. And, you know, I feel like he can be confident because I feel like he feels like there are adults in the room now, right? It's a game plan. It's a strategy. And I think they're going to do everything they can to make sure that they preserve Zach Wilson because you only get so many times to be picking in the top five before, you know, you're going to lose your job.
I want to see him play the entire first half this week. Is that fair?
That should be it. I mean, who's his backup?
Exactly.
Like what?
No, I want to see him play an entire half of football.
And that's probably the game plan for almost every team, right? You know, that doesn't have a veteran that has played in this year in the league more than 5 years. If you're you know, first, second, third year, you're going to get that work.
The other issue is Trevor Lawrence, and we mentioned this before. You alluded to the fact that offensive line is a mess. Your old GM was on the show yesterday and chimed in with an interesting opinion when it comes to Jacksonville's offensive line and playing Trevor Lawrence.
Jacksonville's offensive line was really poor. So we're talking about the development of all these young quarterbacks. How about the development of Urban Meyer? Does he learn anything from Zach Taylor a year ago, puts Joe Burrow in behind a bad offensive line? Myself, Rex Ryan said, hey, Joe Burrow has a really good chance of getting hurt, tears his ACL. The way Jacksonville's offensive line played, when you look at it, they gave up 4 sacks, 8 pressures. Do they either, A, start guarding Minshew? I think unlikely. Or more fundamentally, guys, do they change their approach? Do they say to Daryl Bevel, Brian Schottenheimer, hey, we have to be balanced because we can't let Trevor Lawrence get hurt. And if I'm Urban Meyer, I'm not at Ohio State anymore. I'm not walking down there with 5 blue-chip offensive linemen.
And he was suggesting at times that maybe they should consider playing Gardner Minshew early just because you don't want this guy to get hurt. And frankly, I understand it. I don't know that I would do it, but I understand it because I think it's a tough sell to not play the number one overall pick in the draft.
Right, and there you go, right? The number one overall pick versus the number 7 pick in Fields, right? That's what we're talking about. The difference in what the expectations is for the number one supposedly franchise-saving
pick. This is supposed to be generational guy,
right?
One who comes along every 5-10 years.
Right, and it's funny, right? You know, because if the Jets would have had a veteran quarterback, we would say, hey, let's bring him along maybe a little slowly. Maybe he starts maybe week 5, right? We're talking about, you know, out there in San Francisco, you know, Trey Lance is the number 3 overall pick. Nobody gets that type of pressure other than the first overall pick, but should they not be held with, especially when you think about Gardner Minshew as a guy that have won games in his league, you know, to Tannenbaum's point, maybe they should consider it, but because this ship has sailed and the expectations are so high, not he's the highest rated guy since Andrew Luck. But we saw Patrick Mahomes struggle with pressure and take everything that he knew about the game of football to just try and keep his team in the Super Bowl. He failed. Why do we expect more from Trevor Lawrence?
Well, if you're in Jacksonville and you have this gem that you have that last year, frankly, you lucked into because the Jets won the games that they did, I can't afford to let this guy get anywhere near an injury. And I understand it's football. I understand I can't be overprotective, but I'm worried. I'm a little bit worried right now the way that group in front of him is standing up.
Well, they're going to have – listen, Urban Meyer is also the guy who has his own offense. So he's a guy that should maybe implore the Tebow type of offense, right? Mm. That's what he did. You know, that's something that's going to – more about jet sweeps, getting the ball out your hand, bubble screens and shots, getting his quarterback on the move. Because if that's how we're going to go about it, Brian Schottenheimer, remember, is a guy, and Daryl Bevel, these are all guys that got fired. Usually guys get fired for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, brought to you by the Home Depot, with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Some people don't like to be touched. Are you one of those people that don't like to be touched? Like, you know, somebody pats you on the back, don't touch me.
Yeah, I don't like handsy people. I don't like to, you know, you be touching and talking with your hands at the same time.
You're not alone. One of the most intense competitors out there also doesn't like it, and his coach found out the hard way in the last few days. We'll tell you all about that after Bart tells you about our friends from DoorDash.
DoorDash here with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get the relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings on exclusive menu items and $0 delivery fees year round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app, and stay cool out there, everybody. Terms and conditions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart taking his mask off, being responsible.
I keep forgetting.
Well done.
You know, you just programmed to walk around and talk and communicate with people with your mask on.
Yeah, listen, you do what you got to do. Bart and Hahn is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles. 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. Audiophiles in 1 minute. Let's take Andre in Michigan, who's been exceptionally patient. Andre, you're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? You know what, Bart? You definitely have some good takes, but you are way off base when it comes to the Cowboys. Let me just say this.
Are you in the big D or are you the little D? Which one you in?
I am the big D. You know what I mean? Check this out. The Cowboys, I don't care whether Dak plays in the preseason or not. When he gets that first hit against Tampa Bay, okay, he is going to have the stat line of 350, three TDs, one interception. Okay, he's going to be all right. This is the offseason. We have to find something to talk about. It's the Cowboys.
No.
Of course, we have to speculate.
So stay on for a second, because this is what I want to tell you, right?
Okay.
I remember the year that Tom Brady came back from his ACL injury. Right, and how defenses played him a certain way because he didn't trust in his leg, right? And it's important for guys, you hear all the time, Adrian Peterson, Wells Walker, they come back and they talk about how important those first couple of hits are so you can know that everything is okay. What I'm trying to tell you is Dak doesn't know that. It's more important for him. Of course he knows how to read defenses. Of course he knows where everybody's going to be on offense, but he doesn't know how it's going to hold up. So I don't know if he's going to be as willing to put himself in harm's way, because he understands how important he is. If he's not the quarterback, that team goes nowhere. But it's important for him to get that. And I don't want him to figure that out as Ndamukong Suh, as we know, can be a habitual line stepper, puts that 320 on him and jumps him on. I want him to feel confident and believe that he can do those things and try to have those off-schedule plays.
That's fine, Bart, but like, what do you always say? Guys who have all that cheese on that taco are professionals. They have to perform. They have to do beyond the guys that don't have that cheese. Yeah,
but that
on
doesn't.
The taco,
but that doesn't
right?
mean that they're not human.
Yeah,
I mean he's a human who's coming off of a major leg injury.
Yeah, and say okay, well, and Dominic Sue's there. I'm going to extend the play. No, you like the ball out, and he's like, okay, well, can you get
extend
those?
What?
Right, can, right. You extend it. I mean, can you have those great plays down the field if you're not confident? And one, you how confident are you in your line against Shaq Barrett, JPP, you know, Vita Vea? Like, even if that line is back to what it used to be, they're going to lose sometimes as well. So, Dak, can you get those explosive plays if he doesn't? If he's not Dak?
Audio files, let's do it.
Audio file. The audio file.
You weren't here yesterday. I am so, so locked in on Jalen Hurts' ability to play. I fully believe he should be the Eagles' quarterback this year, yet he has not been named the starter still. Let go, let go. Here's Sal Pal, ESPN NFL reporter, on the absurdity of it all.
Nick Sirianni, for some reason, Key, I don't understand it, has not publicly said or refuses to publicly pronounce that Jalen Hurts is the Eagles' starting quarterback. I don't get it. No one believes Sirianni, not the players, not the organization, not the fans. Nobody. To me, he's just perpetuating this fiction, and to me, it only cuts into his own credibility. It's a misguided approach, in my opinion, and if you're asking me if there's any chance that Joe Flacco beats out a healthy Jalen Hurts, any chance, and I would say zero, period, full stop, next sentence, no way.
Jalen Hurts should be the quarterback, and Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. I can
is he
already,
a good quarterback?
I believe that he is. We saw it a little bit last year, but Bart, you can see that this guy is accurate, he's calm, he knows when to run, he knows when to take off, he had a couple of passes that were dropped too. He is going to be really good. And I'm not convinced that Howie Roseman and the Eagles want him to be good because he is a Doug Peterson pick from last year.
Is he a Super Bowl MVP caliber quarterback?
Is he Nick Foles, you mean?
The other guy. You know, Joe Flacco, listen, I think it's absurd the fact that Joe Flacco's starting days as a starter in this league is over. I mean, can he maybe get some magic like Ryan Fitzpatrick and maybe go somewhere as a bridge quarterback? But that's not the situation of the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, wait, maybe he is a bridge quarterback because they're waiting for Deshaun Watson because that's why they went out and got that because they
– He could be a bridge for a few games, not an entire season.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying, no, is – Jalen Hurts a bridge quarterback to Deshaun Watson. If that's the case, you want to keep him intact. And you also want to keep him healthy.
Then there is Sam Acho checking in. And there's a lot about the talk regarding Trevor Lawrence as we were getting into a little while ago. And whether or not with that offensive line, there should be some thought to starting Gardner Minshew instead. Here is Sam Acho on KJZ.
What you do is you keep tight end, seven-man protection, keep some tight ends in, three-man routes, you keep your running back in. You stay behind James Robinson, 1,400 all-purpose yards last year, top 100 player voted on by his teammates. You saw it in the preseason, quick screens, bubble action, RPO. You protect your quarterback by protecting your offensive line as opposed to putting in Gardner Minshew for no reason.
See, I'm more in this camp. You can't justify not playing the guy.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't say we're afraid he's going to get hurt because, and not just because it undermines your offensive line, but because it's football. Anybody can get hurt at any point. So if it happens, you deal with it.
Well, you make it ugly. You make it ugly football. You run the ball, throw. I mean, if anybody remembers, like, the Mark Sanchez, the Joe Flacco years, you know, even the Josh Allen years, right? You kind of just allow him to be a quarterback. What you don't want is the David Carr effect, where you get the you knock the spirit out
of course,
of him.
Absolutely.
You knock the spirit out of him because he's been hit so many times that he's hearing people or seeing ghosts when there aren't anybody around him.
And make no mistake, when I say if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Look, it can happen at any point.
Yeah.
But you have to do everything possible to make sure that it doesn't happen, short of not playing it. You can't sit right. him out, and you're also telling Gardner Minshew, by the way, you don't matter to us.
he has to develop, and you kind of only develop by actually playing. So what are you saying? You're going to give him a redshirt year? You can't protect them forever. And the thing is, you can say, an argument can say, okay, well, the longer the offensive line plays with each other, the better they can get. Or you can say the longer they play each other, eventually somebody's going to get hurt, so that offensive line is even going to get worse. So then you really can't put them out there. So put them out there now, maybe put in an extra lineman as a tight end, and play ugly football. Run the ball and simple throws so that he can play fast.
I alluded to earlier, some guys just some people just don't like to be touched. And one of the great competitors in the game who recently got traded, Max Scherzer. Well, as Dave Roberts told a story the other night on Sunday Night Baseball, found that out the hard way.
I think maybe his first start at home for us, and pat him on the butt coming into the dugout, first inning, second inning, maybe the third inning, and in the fourth inning I pat him on the butt like, hey, nice going. And he mumbles something under his breath, and I'm like, did he just say, don't effing touch me? And then I got the scoop from our players, like, hey, Doc, make sure you don't touch him. He doesn't want anyone to touch him. And then so I go after the game. He goes seven, shutty, or gives up a run. And then I go, hey, man, did you just mumble something like, don't effing touch me? And he goes, yeah, and I gave you the tempered, most respectful way I can say it, because this is my job. I don't need any kind of congratulations or support, because that's my job.
I wonder if that is that just when he's pitching, or is that all time? Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
No, I think that's like, I mean, that's an ace, Cy Young winner, and his psyche, right?
I don't need you telling me I did a good job.
I don't need affirmation from you. Like, right. Listen, I appreciate it, but you can admire from afar, but I don't need you to say, hey, good job. Like, because that's how locked I am. I came here to do a job, and I do it. It's just kind of like when, like, my kids tell me thank you. Like, don't tell me thank you. This is my job. I'm your dad. You know, I don't need that.
When they tell you thank you for what? They don't have to thank you.
Buying them stuff and taking care of the lights in the house.
Where were you? Because if I didn't say thank you when I was growing up, it was, let's just say it was an issue.
Yeah, I just don't need thank you for stuff that I'm supposed to do.
All right. You're a pretty generous father on that front then.
Hey, listen, you know,
I'm emotionally needy. If I had children, I would want them thanking me all the time.
How you thank me is to be able to one day do it for yourself.
Oh, wow. I mean, you came in flying high, shot out of a cannon, and by hour two, we are getting life lessons.
I got high expectations for myself, man, so I'm supposed to take care of my kids.
Well, I've never had that problem. Anyway, it is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Allen, along with Bart Scott. Has all the management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit LexiconServices.com/intersection. Plenty of NBA news this morning. One major superstar in the league gets paid, but will his superstar teammate be back with him this coming year? Plus, we always look forward to Christmas, not just for the presents, but for the basketball. And today, we find out what the matchups will be on Christmas Day. We've got a couple of them in advance. Woj bombs dropping in moments. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Good to have Bart back in the chair.
Did you miss me?
Of course.
Because I missed you.
Kevin, Pennsylvania, up first.
Kevin, did you miss me?
I missed you, man.
How about Red? He's in Richmond, Virginia.
Hey, Red, did you miss me?
No, I did not miss him.
Damn it, Red. Newsflash, we ain't never been friends, Red. Soon as you put logic to a Dallas fan, they just hang up on you. They don't want to rebuke the rebut.
Mike in Louisville, that's beautiful. Mike, what's going on? Mike missed you.
I did miss Bart.
Did you miss me?
Life is different with you and without you, and I prefer life with you. That's what I can say about it, because it is, boy, my life is a lot quieter, but the great part about Bart that people don't understand is he brings incredible energy without drama. And when I can just cut drama out altogether, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, usually fun is accompanied with issues. No issues, man.
No, Bart's never had issues.
I want no beef.
Except for you when you threw the helmet at Ray Rice that one time.
Yeah, Ray Rizzo. We were friends, but it's okay.
Exactly.
We made up.
It is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn along with Bart Scott. Don't forget, you also got to check us out by telling your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio, which, by the way, is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. NBA news coming out. First of all, Joel Embiid got the bag.
He got the biggest bag.
He got the bag. 4 years, 196, almost 50 a year.
That's what I'm saying. He got the biggest bag. And out of all the guys that have gotten paid, I wonder if people will have an argument that maybe he shouldn't have got the most. And maybe he should have left maybe a little bit on the table so that they can go out and get some other pieces. Because if this type of contract, if this type of the process isn't cemented with a championship, then they're going to start looking at him and his gaudy contract. Not his fault, but hey.
Let me ask you this. Is the other superstar, Ben Simmons, going to be with him when they open the season?
I think without him, but don't you have to make the money match? And he's not making a super max. So if you want to kind of get somebody that's close, get maybe get two players for him. But I don't know if Dame Dollar is that player, because Dame Dollar doesn't make as much out of. I think he makes more than that.
He makes more than Ben Simmons does.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And with now $49 million, I mean, as you see, like the big three in Brooklyn are starting to do their extensions, which we were concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
That gives some relief. But Tobias Harris, man, I don't know if I can keep paying him that type of money, too.
Ben Simmons, meanwhile, I have, as I predicted, seen some of those Instagram videos of him working on the jump shot, and all of a sudden you'll see him hit a nice fadeaway. That shows up. Meanwhile, I don't see this anywhere on it. I don't see this.
Raindrops! Fog score!
Remember that from Along Came Polly?
Rain dance.
Yeah. Hey, they are editing all those out.
Exactly.
It's like the Instagram shots.
Yeah, they didn't make the cut.
Let me see, make one in the game.
Then, Bart, Christmas Day games are getting announced today. Woj broke two of them earlier. How about these on Christmas Day? Nets Lakers at Staples Center.
That's beautiful, but I guarantee you, I want to see everybody play.
Who will be getting load management on
right,
that day?
Exactly. They always do that. It's almost like if they see each other, they don't want each other to be familiar with how they play together so that they can't prepare and scout.
Merry Christmas. You got KCP.
KCP.
And then you also have the Knicks and the Hawks at Madison Square Garden that day.
Well,
with Trae Young, that's going to be an electric atmosphere.
And the Knicks is always special. Let's see if the Knicks can make enough upgrades to make Trae Young is balding a meme. I can't wait to see that, man, because they hate him. He's the bad guy. He's the new Reggie Miller.
He is the new Reggie Miller. I do think that between now and then, he has to get more theatrical like Reggie Miller did. Like, he's got to come up with some moves.
Well, he's went with the chill.
Yeah, special for the Garden, though. That's for Ice Trae. I need more.
He got to have somebody, when he's introduced, somebody to come out with a blanket because he's so cold, like, coming into there.
Oh, love it.
Like James Brown.
Did you miss me?
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.